Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad to see everybody here. I'd like to welcome our visitors that we have with us. We have a number of them. We have a gentleman from Colorado. We have a gentleman from a fellow Okie. And so we're glad to have you. And we have, I think, a few other visitors with us. Very glad that you came to worship with us. Amen. Have a couple of prayer requests before we get into our lesson. Sister Crystal Lindo requests prayers. She is scheduled for a cesarean this coming Tuesday, and she asks for prayers that everything goes well with that, and let us remember the family at this time and the delivery of that sweet little baby. Also, prayers requested for Karen Wheeler, which continues to deal with a number of health issues. We have a prayer request for the son of Kim and Eric Dillard. Their son Daniel has been experiencing seizures, and so we need to remember him at this time and the family as they deal with that. And also Marion request of prayers. As many of you know, her mom has been placed in hospice care recently, and Marion got a phone call this morning during Bible study that the nurses have said that her mom's in the final stages, and so we need to remember Marion and her family at this time. That's tough to deal with, but Let's go to God and go to our Heavenly Father on behalf of these people. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you, first and foremost, for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, anything that might stand between us and you and you hearing our prayers. Dear God, we come on behalf of a number of people right now. We ask that you be with the Lindo family, that the delivery of their baby will be safe, healthy, good for mom and baby. Mm-hmm. We pray that you be with that family as they raise this child in you. Let it grow healthy and strong, and eventually one day become a Christian. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Karen Wheeler. We have prayed for her before. She experiences a number of health problems, and we pray that you be with her and give her strength. Dear God, we ask that you be with the Dillard family. We especially ask that you be with their son Daniel as he's experiencing seizures right now, and we hope that the doctors can determine the best course of action to deal with that, and that you will be with them. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we come to you right now on behalf of Marion. It's never easy to face death, but we get so much comfort from you, your word, from our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask that you be with her and her family. Let them be comforted at this time. And we're thankful that the family has had the mother as long as they have. So many people lose family members early in life, and we're glad that they've had her as long as they have. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we ask that you be with them, comfort them, let them gain strength from your word and their brothers and sisters. Dear God, thank you for the avenue of prayer. Thank you for hearing us. And we pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen. Well, we are able to go to lunch early today because between Daryl and Tracy, the lesson has just about been covered. So we might as well have a ready break and get out of here. We're going to be looking at the lesson today, He is Risen. It is a proclamation. It is a reassurance.
Amen.
It is something that we base our faith on. And we're going to look into this today. Daryl was mentioning that he's glad that people worldwide, people that are even, they even marginally halfway accept the name of God and Jesus. They're aware of it. They acknowledge that He has risen. Amen. And on this day, what we call Easter, what the world calls Easter, people remember Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We as Christians, we don't necessarily celebrate Easter. Easter was adapted from a pagan holiday. It was the Roman Catholics that kind of gave it a special day to try to fit in and accept others into it. Kind of like Christmas. We as Christians know, we know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but we as a culture, there's nothing wrong with Christmas trees and gifts and love. In our culture, we honor that. In our culture, as Americans, there's nothing wrong with chocolate bunnies and having a ham today or Peeps. Nothing. Ain't no devil in the Peeps, okay? Ain't no devil in Peeps. But we don't, as Christians, honor this. For one, we don't, I think Daryl said, this day was not the day Jesus arose from the dead. We honor, not once a year, we honor His resurrection weekly, as the Bible proclaimed. And I am glad that this pagan holiday has evolved into what it has, to where it might open a door for us to have conversation about the resurrection. Amen. And the power of the resurrection. I want us to look at the resurrection. Chris read our scripture reading today, and it was taken from Luke chapter 24, and starting off in verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them," they were talking about women that had followed Jesus from Galilee. It was talking about that in chapter 23. That's who they women were. And it says, "came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared." They were going to follow through with the burial preparation of the body. The spices and the oils and different methods that they did to prepare the body for burial. But they found the stone rolled away. Must have been a shock. Must have been a shock for them. Then they went and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead?
Amen.
He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words.
Amen.
What a comfort, and what a light bulb must have gone off to them when they were reminded, remember Jesus himself spoke to you those things. He told you back when you were in Galilee. And they remembered those words. There were eyewitnesses to this resurrection. If there wasn't, those people that had been given that announcement would have been relying on two men in bright clothes. That's what they would have had to rely their soul faith would have been on those two men. But there were eyewitnesses to this resurrection. That's important. Paul talked to the Romans about how for even a righteous man, somebody would scarcely die. Maybe for a good man, somebody would. But it says Jesus, at the right time, died for our sins.
Amen.
Not everybody would die for somebody else. There are a lot of, you know, I'm sure there's many of us that there's people in our life that we would gladly give our life for. It would be easy. But then, you know what? There's some people out there that wouldn't. When it got down, no, not me. You know, you go out in the world, it's all about them. Not only did Jesus die, there has been other martyrs throughout history. What makes Jesus so unique is they didn't raise from the dead.
Amen.
Very few would die for somebody else, although there has been people that have done that. What makes those people different? They didn't raise from the dead. They didn't resurrect themselves. There were eyewitnesses to this. And that's what makes this event so important. It just wasn't two men in white, bright clothes, telling you that it happened. In 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter wrote, "For we did not follow cleverly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." This was written decades after the Gospels. This was written decades after Jesus had risen from the dead. And Peter takes great pride in this. There were people teaching the concept that there were some teachings that Jesus never came in the flesh. That he was a mystical, magical something. That he was an idea. That he really didn't live in the flesh. And then there were some that didn't believe, that they believed in Jesus, but they didn't believe in the resurrection. I think it was the Sadducees. That they didn't believe in the idea of a resurrection. Peter is shooting that concept right out of the sky. Because he says, we were eyewitnesses. Don't tell me he didn't live.
Amen.
Don't tell me he didn't resurrect from the dead. I was one of them that saw him. The Apostle John is basically saying the same thing. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, that life was manifested, made obvious. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with us, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us based on that. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Save your breath by talking to the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter that Jesus didn't raise from the dead. Because they touched Him, they saw Him, they were in His presence. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. He basically starts from the beginning. For I delivered to you, first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If it wasn't for the raising again, that's what makes it so special. A lot of people can be killed, but raising, that's another story. According to the Scriptures. And that He was seen by Cephas, which is Peter. Then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. You can't say, try to project a lie, because there are so many people when this was written that can refute that. A few have died, have fallen asleep, but most are still around. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Mm-hmm. Don't tell Paul that what he saw on the road to Damascus wasn't Jesus. Don't tell the Apostle John that what he saw and ate with and talked with and touched and saw and heard wasn't Jesus raised from the dead. Don't tell Peter. What are the consequences of this resurrection? That's the important thing. This happened, but what are the consequences? 1 Corinthians 15. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time right now. Everything that we do for Christ is a waste of time if He didn't raise from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." Could you imagine how if this wasn't true, what we've given up, we've put our faith in something that was for naught. Think of the things that the people of the first century went through. Mm-hmm. All for the cause of Christ. The persecutions, the death, the sufferings, the beatings, the imprisonments. And if that's where it stopped, like Paul said, we're the most pitiable. What is our responsibility because of that? If Jesus did raise from the dead, which he did, there were eyewitnesses, and the consequences are such that there is reward because of that. What's our responsibility in this whole thing? God did his responsibility. Jesus did his responsibility. Mm-hmm. What about us? What do we do because of all of this? We remember and we live for him. Jesus died for him, for God. We have to live for him. My opinion only. I think it's easier to die for Christ than to live a life for him. It's harder. Somebody put a gun to your head, deny him or I shoot you. Shoot! Do it, end it. But to live every day of your life for him, that takes effort. That's our responsibility. In Acts 20 and verse 7, which Tracy reminded of us earlier, says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, just what we're doing, when we come together to remember him, not once a year, not to make Easter a once a year thing. We come together weekly. And the purpose, to remember Jesus and to commune with him, to thank him for what he did and to remember what he did. And to praise God for it. 1 Corinthians 11, I think you read this also. Like I said, we could have hit lunch early today. Just leave it up to Tracy and Daryl. The lesson was done. Starting in verse 23 in 1 Corinthians 11, this is Paul saying, for I received from the Lord. He didn't make it up. He didn't hear from a guy in a shiny white toga. He heard it from the Lord. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, of him. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Weekly, not once a year. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We just didn't take the Lord's Supper. We did it in his memory, and we by doing it, we're proclaiming the Lord's death. And as Paul said earlier, if he didn't raise, we're the most pitiful, you know, the pity's on us. That we're doing all this for naught if he didn't raise. Goes on to say, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He is risen.
Amen.
He is. He gives us our purpose. Our anchor for what we believe, what we do, and the hope that lies within us. Because if he didn't, we're wasting our time. He is risen. Just like those women were told. And the feeling that they had, and they remembered the words that Jesus himself had spoke to them. The joy that they, first thing they did, they ran and told the apostles. We can do the same thing. Let's go tell our friends. Let's tell our family. Let's tell our neighbors. Let's tell the strangers. He is risen. I'm glad that the world remembers once a year. Maybe we can influence them to remember him every week.
Amen.
If you need to respond to the invitation's always open. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if you need to request prayers from your brothers and sisters, if you're looking for a church home, we have had, just in the past couple of months, a number of families identify with working and worshiping here with us. And we are so glad to have you. We've had a number of families identify with us, and we welcome you. Whatever your need, let's stand and sing together as Daryl leads us. Please come forward if you need to respond.